Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountRecovery.net, and I'm really excited to bring you today's webinar on the fundamentals of cyber tracking. What is the difference between skip tracing and cyber tracking? In a world where people are leaving more and more digital footprints on a daily basis, being able to spot the breadcrumbs and trace them back to someone is becoming a more important skill. Today in this webinar, sponsored by Microbuilt, we've got noted cyber tracker Ron Brown, who's going to walk us through some of the tools and resources that can be used by companies in the credit collection industry to help locate people who don't want to be found. This is the second in a three-day, three-part webinar series featuring presentations from Ron that are being sponsored by Microbuilt. Yesterday, he spoke about how neuro-linguistic programming can help you get desired results in every type of conversation. And tomorrow, he's going to finish a series discussing how to skip trace in an age of social media. A recording of yesterday's event is available on AccountRecovery.net's webinar recordings page, and you can find a link to register for tomorrow's webinar on AccountRecovery.net as well. I want to stress how grateful I am to Microbuilt and Ron for doing so much to help educate and inform the industry. They are both dedicated to helping this industry, and I, for one, am so happy to be able to be a part of it. I want to take a quick minute and say a few words about AccountRecovery.net. AccountRecovery.net is a news and information site for the ARM industry. The site publishes unique content, maintains a number of email newsletters, one on compliance, one on technology, for example, hosts great webinars like this one, and offers a growing number of podcasts. The site is free for everyone to use and is a great resource to help educate and inform. The objective is to kind of keep you posted on what's going on in the industry every day. So I hope everybody will spend a few minutes every day checking out what it has to offer. For those of you who don't know, let me tell you a little bit about today's speaker. Ron Brown has more than 45 years of experience in the field of locating and recovering lost and missing people and assets. He's internationally recognized as one of the leaders in the tracing and recovering industry and spends much of his time acting as an instructor. Having received the ACA International Award for instructing more than 250 seminars, he's been selected three times by the group as its Certified Instructor of the Year. Nationally recognized as one of the key instructors on the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act, and HIPAA. He's written many published articles on these ever-changing federal laws and continues to conduct seminars related to these statutes. Before I hand the presentation over to Ron, I wanted to take a quick minute and say a few words about our sponsor. For more than almost 40 years, Microbuilt has been helping businesses assess and manage risk. They were a pioneer in the alternative credit data space and today serve as a credit reporting agency in addition to their portfolio of risk management applications. Over the years, Microbuilt has invested heavily in acquiring best-in-class data with a reputation for being accurate and continually refreshed. They have also built powerful predictive models for making decisions around lending, leasing, collections, and risk management. All of these tools can be customized to a specific industry and company needs, including flexible pricing tiers. Every Microbuilt product is accessible through a convenient web portal, and many are also available as APIs for application development. Whether you're working in originations or debt collection, screening a potential hire or tenant, planning for growth, or keeping up with regulatory requirements, Microbuilt can be your partner. They can provide insight and information you can count on to protect your business, grow your bottom line, and keep your company running smoothly. For more information, please contact Microbuilt at 800-884-4747. Or visit www.microbuilt.com. Like yesterday and tomorrow, the format for today's webinar will be a presentation from Ron. I know Ron loves questions, so we encourage everybody to submit questions and we'll get to them when his presentation has concluded. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel. This event is being recorded and a recording will be made available in the next 24 hours or so on AccountRecovery.net's webinar recordings page. With that, let me hand it over to the man of the hour, Ron Brown, to begin his presentation. Ron, it's all yours.
Mike, you wore me out with the introduction. I'm tired already.
You and me both.
Module 2, cyber tracking. You know, as we closed out yesterday, we saw this quotation from Hemingway. There's no hunting like the hunting of man, and those who have hunted men and lacked it have never cared for hunting anything else thereafter. And you see how ferocious and dangerous looking that tiger is? I will guarantee you, with no hesitation or mental reservation, man is the most cunning and dangerous prey on the face of the earth. And I said yesterday, I use that term generically, women are much more dangerous than men. Looking at the next slide, you know, I told you yesterday the importance of why. You know, I can teach people how, but the ones who really succeed are the ones who understand why. Why, in today's tracing and cyber tracking environment, we cannot locate people. We can't locate assets and collateral and recover it without a thorough knowledge of the available technology, tools, and trends. The three T's, technology, tools, and trends. This ever-changing technology includes, but it's not limited to, knowledge of computers, communication equipment, types and sources of data, and the laws that protect all of these different types of data. In tracing people, our ability to trace has always paralleled our ability to communicate. Think about it. At one time, people communicated with pigeons. Pablo Escobar, the famed drug dealer, still communicated with pigeons because there was no way to track him with that. We used couriers. We had the Pony Express. We used flags to signal each other. At one time, that was the way we communicated. Then we had a breakthrough. We had the telegraph. The telegraph could move faster than anything else we knew at that time, so we could actually get ahead of a person. Then we had telephones, and then we had computers. And, you know, now your telephone is a computer. We have the cyber highway, and that's the internet. And with the cyber highway, we had the emergence of a new type of breed called cyber tracker. I would like to think I originated that term. I was hired several years back to go to India to train an offshore company on how to skip trace. After about 3 or 4 days, I realized I could never train these people to skip trace people in the United States. They were too nice. They were too pleasant. They had accents, very intelligent. I felt very bad because I had committed myself to 30 days to teach these people, 2 weeks on theory, 2 weeks on application. And I realized I had taken a lot of money. I was going to have to give it back. I couldn't train these people to be skip tracers as we know it. But I just read an article on the cyber highway. And I laid in bed at night thinking, what are these people's strong points? The next day I went in, I called all the managers together. I said, guys, I'm sorry, but I cannot train you to skip trace. Their faces dropped. I said, but, and I came up with a new word, I can train your people to be cyber trackers. They got this curious look on their face, and you'll see on the next slide exactly what I explained to them a cyber tracker would do. A cyber tracker is a hunter of people or assets who has the ability to track through electronic sources, analyze data, exclude that which does not match the tracking pattern of the person or asset they're searching for, and they really smiled at this, the ability to search 24/7, 365 without ever communicating with any real person. The only law I had to teach that way was read only, read only. That's all I had to tell them. Because they're never going to talk to anybody. They didn't have to know about the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. They didn't have to know about HIPAA. They weren't going to communicate with anyone. The difference between a cyber tracker and a skip tracer today is a skip tracer not only has to have cyber tracker skills, but they also have to possess communication skills, things that we talked about yesterday, using the ability to extract information through the use of neurolinguistic programming techniques. Okay, so what is the number one tool of a cyber tracker? Human mind. The human mind is the greatest tool a cyber tracker, a skip tracer, possesses. Why? Why? Because we have the ability to reason. When I told you man was the most dangerous animal on the face of the earth, the reason is they can reason. Animals, fish, fowl, they run out of straight fear. They don't have any reason to why they run. They just run. We have the ability to reason. That means that we have the ability to think, well, I'm going to do this. Oh, wait a minute. They may think I'm going to do this, so I'll do this. And they may think I'm going to do that, so I'm going to do something else completely different. We lay down false trails. I'm going to go to Texas, and instead I move to California. You know, we can reason. Nothing else can reason but us. We have the ability to understand why we're doing something. Like I say, animals, fish, fowl, they just run out of fear. They don't know why. They're just afraid and they run. There's no pattern to it. We understand why. And we have the ability to counter move. If a person makes one move, we can move the other way. We play chess. We play checkers. We play games. We know how to do that. And the greatest ability is we have the ability to use all these abilities at the same time. The number one tool of a cyber tracker is the human mind. I tell people, when I'm doing a full day seminar, and this is actually a full day program condensed into about 45 minutes, I will do an exercise where I ask everybody to close their eyes, take a deep breath, and think back to their senior year in high school. Imagine themselves looking in a mirror, look at how they're dressed, look at their hair. I want them to look in the mirror and see one of their friends passing behind them and think of something good that happened to them their senior year. Immediately, hands will start going up. And I'll ask them, what I hear more than anything else is, I graduated. I was the captain of the football team. I was the prom queen. I got married. I had a baby. I hear all kinds of things. But what the human mind did was go back in time into that storehouse, that brilliant storehouse of knowledge, extract information and give it to us in a form that we can understand. That's all a computer does. A computer stores information and lets us retrieve it. It is man's feeble attempt to duplicate the human mind. That's all a computer is. I have an AS400, a big IBM. I have to purge it every 5 years. It can only hold 5 years worth of data. Think about it. The average person can remember back. Memory starts about 2 years of age. And you never forget anything. Once it's in your brain, you don't forget it. You ever tried to think of something, a movie, a name of somebody, a song, and it just doesn't come to you? And then later on, just out of the clear blue, bang, there it is. Your mind is that little thing, like that little thing goes round and round on the computer. It knows you have more important things to do, but it is still searching for that data. And when it finds it in your memory bank, it brings it right back to you. Do not ever forget to use that tool. Think, reason, understand why the person is running, counter move to get in front of them, and do all this at the same time. Now, you've got to understand the mind of the person you're looking for. And we see some things on the next slide that we touched on yesterday, but it becomes very, very more important. We're looking for five distinct classes of people. These all people, this is the first time in the history of the United States that we have actually had all five of these people in the marketplace, in the workplace. You want to see them, go to Walmart. You'll see every one of these groups of people in Walmart, from the greeters. They're the pre-boomers, born before 1945. They're 73 plus. They're still out there working. They're still alive, still very active. Boomers, 1945 to 1964. This is still the largest portion of the generations that are out there. They're between the ages of 54 and 72. Some are retired, some are not. Some are still working. Your X generation, they're between 34 and 53, 65 to 84. These are the old hippies. You know, they're the ones that are pushing to get marijuana legalized. You got your Y generation. They're 14 to 33, 1985 to 2004. And then you've got your cyber babies, 1995 to 2000. They're 18 to 23 years of age. So consequently, all these groups are out there, and they don't think the same way we do. Which generation do you fit into? Because you have certain value tags. You know, I see this thing. We were talking the other day about dress codes. When I came to work, we wore suits. And I don't mean a coat and a tie. I mean a suit, a tie, a shirt. Every day, that's what you wore. And then we got business casual. And then we got jean day. My generation, I'm a boomer, to me, jeans are starched, stiff, creased. They walk alone, and you got to press your leg down in them hard to get in them. We had jean day, and these people came in wearing jeans, and they got holes in them. And I told them, hey, guys, you know, maybe I need to pay you more money. You got holes in your jeans. And they laughed and said, we pay extra for that. My value tag is different from their value tag when it comes to a simple thing like what jeans should look like. So you got to think about that, because we get into a rut where we're thinking the way we think when we're hunting somebody and what we would do, and that's not necessarily true. You have to think of what their value tags are and what they would do. So on the next slide, we see some things that you think about. And again, in an all day, we write these things down. Residence, time at residence. You have a value time at your residence, but these different generations, cyber babies live in apartments and they don't think anything about moving. Employment. A lot of people, especially the pre-boomers and even some of the boomers, they wanted one job their whole life. They wanted to work for one company. That was very important. My sons are Y generation, and they changed jobs, you know, two or three times. One's an architect, one's an attorney. They work for different companies. Education. We thought you had to have a college degree to get ahead. It was beat into our head. You got to have a college degree. Today, not necessarily so. Marriage. We thought you went to church and got married. Today, hey, you just live together. Children, you know, security, vehicles. What do we drive? You know, to me, the car was the great thing. I wanted to have a car. You know, I wanted a nice sports car. Today, they don't even want a car. They Uber everywhere. They don't have to worry about parking. They don't worry about buying tags. They don't worry about anything. Future, motivation. What motivates you does not necessarily motivate the person you're hunting. So you've got to always think your mind versus their mind. Don't try to track them using your set of value tags. Think of what their value tags would be. Go from there. Okay. Now we know the mindset. Let's look at some of the tools. Let's talk about the tools that we use. You know, cyber tracking, you've got to understand 21st century tracing. The biggest thing that we're going to be use our tool other than our mind is going to be the computers. Just because it's on the internet doesn't make it so. Remember that. But we use computers. We use communication tools. No one carries just a phone anymore. We talk about those generations. I got friends who are boomers and X-Gen, and they still carry flip phones. You know, I carry two iPhones, iPhone 10s, I think they are. I'm not sure. But there are many computers. So what communication tools? Understand the different tools. Directories, you know, we had the Polk directory, we had the Crisscross directory. Today, every telephone directory in the United States, in the world, is on the internet. You can use them as crisscrosses. You can use all kind of things. We have to understand sources of data, where the data come from, the speed of the data, how quick are we going to get it, and security issues are involved. Let's look at these things one at a time because they're all very important that we understand. Let's talk about computers first. On the next slide, what we'll see is computers, and they're the gateway. Computers provide the gateway to getting into the information. Mike, let's go to the next slide. Here we go. Mike's taking a vacation. There he is. Computers provide the gateway. It's important you understand certain things about that. There are link sites. These are very important to a cyber tracker. I'm going to give you several of the link sites that I use and my people use today before the seminar is over. Understand something. There is no data at those sites. They link you to the data sites, which are the databases. And there's different types of databases out there. There's advanced searches, and that is where the human mind is involved. And there's batch searches. That's where the human mind is not involved. It's just a computer. A lot of collection agencies, because batch searching is so cheap, never touched by human hands, will do what's called the waterfall technique. First, they'll run their accounts through a batch search. Then they'll run them through an advanced search where the human mind is involved. Email addresses. You know, when I teach classes, I ask everybody, you know, everybody's got an email address, raise your hand. Very seldom is there someone who doesn't raise their hand. So knowing that we all have email addresses, remember how we used to track through social security numbers? We used to track through telephone numbers because those were distinct to the person. Now the email address is distinct to the person. So that's very important. We can track people through their email addresses, social contacts, and we'll be talking about social tracking tomorrow. Public records. Public records have always been out there. You've always had access to them, but you had to go where they were stored, and maybe you could only see them the third Wednesday of every month, and Judy has to show them to you, and you go there, and Judy is sick, so you got to go back next month. Now, almost all public records are accessible through the computer, and we'll talk about that, and downlinks, and then maps and the Google Maps, and that's a wonderful thing. Communications have changed. You know, we used to track people through landlines. If you could find the landline number, you could find the person. And there were different ways to locate the person. Those. Now we have cell phones. We have not only cell phones, but we have smartphones, iPhones. We have answering machines. And, you know, and those three things right there can be very deceiving, and understand they can be used against you just as much as they're used for you. A good example is, I got a call a while back from someone who wanted us to repossess some equipment, and the person was in Oklahoma, Oklahoma City. I said, how do you know they're in Oklahoma City? Well, we got an area code 405, and they gave me the number. I said, okay. I would dial the number, and it would say, hi, this is John. Mary and I are out in the backyard with the kids right now, but leave your name and number. Your call is important to us, and we'll get right back to you. Well, you are only supposed to be able to get a cell phone in the area in which you have a residence, in that area code. But I guarantee you, I can walk into any city in the United States, open up a phone book or call information, and I can find a Ron Brown or a R. Brown. I then will take that person's address. I will go to one of the kiosks that are selling phones, and I will give them my name, Ron Brown, but I'll give them the other Ron Brown's address in that city. They will then give me a phone. I tell them, now, I don't want it billed to that address. Bill it to my company address in Oklahoma City. So I've got a phone out of Denver, Colorado with a 303 area code. And when I want to give it out to people, hey, that's what I give them. We see so many people today who move from one city to the other city. They don't change their phone numbers. They keep that area code in that phone. This particular person who said, you know, had a 405 area code, we found him in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, working at a ski resort. He had no wife named Mary. He had no kids, you know, totally a scam. So as good cyber trackers, we have to be aware that these tools can be used against us just as much as we use them to our side. Fax machines are still out there. They're almost becoming a thing of the past. You know, some of you may remember instant messaging. You know, that was the way to communicate at one time. There was email, there was instant messaging, now there's texting. Texting is the big communication tool. Not only texting, but, you know, Twitter, different things like that. And again, we'll discuss a lot of that tomorrow in the social media area. These are the way we communicate today. It's not like it used to be. Looking at the next slide, where does, you know, we have directories. These directories, like I say, we used to use them. Now they're on the net. We have traditional directories, which, you know, that's the beginning area, phone books, things like that. But I want you to think about something. How often is a phone book published? It only comes out once a year. Only once a year. So I had been told years ago that when the crisscross directory came out, and many of you online probably don't even know what a crisscross is. However, they just took the phone book, they reversed it, where you could look up by the phone number, you could look up by the address. They were 22% in error the day they hit the streets. So, you know, think about it. These phone books. They can be good information, bad information, may be good, may not be good. There are data banks, which are real time, that you can get instant phone information. We do. The moment that phone is connected or disconnected, we've got it. There's the traditional books like that. There's hard copies. Our people used to, even when they went on vacation, when they came back, they'd open their trunk up. They were real proud. They had stolen a phone book out of every motel they stayed in, and some even hit the phone booths. You know, we don't really use a lot of hard copies anymore. A cyber tracker uses phone books information books that are on the internet. Also, there's out of the box. Get out of the box. You know, we use church directories. Almost all churches have a church directory with all kind of good information about their members. If you know a person is of a certain religion and you're in a small town, there's only maybe one or two churches, go and see if they've got a church directory. Military-based directories, union directories, jump out of the box, homeowners association directories. Cyber trackers look for those on the internet and they find them. Where does the data come from? You know, it's very important that the cyber tracker understands the data. Where does it come from? There's proprietary data. That is data that you give to someone who owns it. You give it to them, and unless it is protected by law, like the Gramm-Leach-Violey Act or HIPAA, they can do whatever they want with it. Credit applications, good information there in the header part. The fact they pay or don't pay, they really, that doesn't apply to us. If they pay, we wouldn't be looking for them. But the header information is good. Subprime data list, a lot of the people we're looking for, that's where they're going to come up. So it's important that when you look at data, whoever you're buying your data from, they have subprime, warranty data, credit bureaus, public records, all that information. They're all sources of data. The speed of the data, how fast are we going to get the information, becomes very important. There's two different types of data feeds and three things we should be looking for. We see it on the next slide. When we're looking at a data source, there's delayed data feed. I'm hooked into a statewide database called UDS, Utility Data Services. It has all the utility services in Oklahoma. So if you have utilities, I can get you. But it's a delayed data feed. They only update on the 5th of each month. So if it's the 7th of the month and you just moved, I got to wait till the 5th of the next month to find out where you've got new stuff. There's real-time data feed. A lot of the phone directories have real-time. The day it's hooked up, and this is something you need to know, and also updates and deletes. How often is it updated? And if they know there's bad data on there, do they delete it? Now, another thing that's very important for you to know is the security. How is this data protected? A cyber tracker, like I said earlier, is a read-only. We see some of the laws on the next page that a good cyber tracker still needs to know what they are. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. There's parts in there that would apply to a cyber tracker. One of the reasons I say it's read-only is that if you put false information, you violated Section 807 of the FDCPA if you're doing that. If I create a false persona on the internet, if I ask to be a friend and I give any information or I don't comply with the law, and this is a friend to anybody, not just the consumer, but a friend of a friend of the consumers to try to get information, I can violate the FDCPA. FCRA fact, I don't want to talk to anybody because the moment they disputed that or they claim that it's identity theft, there's certain things I have to do. HIPAA, giving out any information regarding medical data. HITECH enforces HIPAA. The Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act protects all financial information. Red Flag Rules enforces that. Telephone Consumer Protection Act, and that has to do with using dialers, which a cyber tracker isn't going to be using a dialer. The last one there is TRIPA, and that is one that you really have to watch out because that was the first law that actually criminalized using misinformation to get information. So these are laws that you need to be aware of. But you don't have to go in depth if you are read only. You never talk to anybody. You never give any information out. Sources, where's it come from? I wish I could give you a golden bullet. I wish I could give you that gold mine in the sky, but it's not out there. There is no one single source of information place that you can go to get all the information you need. So we look at free databases, telephone directories, public records, Windows open and close, social sites, school sites. Again, we'll talk more about social sites tomorrow. Telephone directories we talked about, public records we've talked about. Windows. We recently had a telephone company open up a window. And I'm a member of a group, Eagle Group 20. We've got like 56 members across the United States, and we share information with each other. one of my Eagle Group 20 people called me and said, hey, Northeastern Bell has got a window open. They're wanting to sell high-speed internet service. Go to it. You put information in. You ask questions. They ask you questions like, are you on a clone or a Apple computer, this, that. And it finally, it will say, you know, what telephone number do we bill this to? You type in a phone number, an unlisted telephone number. It will come back and say, is this the correct billing address? So you just legally or illegally broke an unlisted telephone number. That window stayed open for about 90 days, and we used it extensively. Social Security had a window open. You could type in a Social Security number, and it would give you that person's income for their entire life. So you knew whether or not they were worth suing or not, or what kind of money they made. That had an expose on 60 Minutes, and it closed very quickly after that. Social sites we'll talk about tomorrow. School sites are very important. Classmates.com, alumni.com. If you're not a member of those, a cyber tracker sure needs to join. Pay your $19.95, be a gold member. You will be surprised if you can find out what college or high school the people went to. And a lot of times you find that out by looking at or reading their timelines on their Facebook. Go to those sites. They'll tell you everything about themselves, all about themselves. I have a Facebook. I show my employment as a professional hunter. I don't lie. There's nothing on there, but I'll never ask to be a friend. Don't ask me to be a friend. Pay databases. We have information brokers, and this is something that we have created, the need for instant information. You know, there was a time when if you applied for credit, it would take you 2 or 3 days to get your credit approved. Today, it can be done in 10 seconds. And I tested this a while back. There was a credit card that said you would be approved in 10 seconds. I put my name, address, Social Security number, date of birth in. Within 10 seconds, I had a $15,000 credit limit on a MasterCard. It's amazing. This need for instant information has created information brokers. We'll talk about some of those. I'll give you one of the best coming up. Public records, still out there. The information is there. So what do we do with these sources? We see on the next slide, there are 4 things that we have to have to exist in today's world. To survive, we've got to have shelter, food, transportation, and money. If you don't have those 4 things, you become transient. You become living on the streets. A lot of people in California don't have all 4 of those things. We take those 4 basic needs, and a cyber tracker builds their own databases based on their demographics of where they want to go to look for this information. We see on the next slide, for shelter, we can look at property records. We can look at tax records, utility records, credit bureaus, insurance records, new move-ins. For food, you know, utility records, you got to cook it, you got to get rid of it. So there's utility records. And if the people are on welfare, that's all public information. You can get access to that. Transportation, warranty records. In the all-day class, I'll ask the people, how many of you have a new car? About half of them raise their hands. How many of you have a car that's under warranty? About half of them raise their hands. Where do you have it serviced? The dealership. You give them information when you take that car in to have it serviced. There is an international database. Ford has one. GM has one. I take my car in. I get it serviced. They put the information in there. I can cyber track where the car is financed. I can cyber track the VIN number of the car off the filing of the UCC-1. I can then give that VIN to my contact at the Chevrolet shop in Edmond, Oklahoma, and he can tell me the last time that car was serviced, what was done to it, where it was serviced, and what I want more than anything else, the phone number to contact the consumer at in the daytime, which is usually their work number. That is not protected information. It's proprietary. They own it when you give it to them. Registration records through the state, accident records. If you know anyone who is in the insurance business, they can give you information regarding accidents. That's proprietary. It's not protected information. And insurance records, money, employment, bank records, credit card records, cash purchases, check cashing habits, spending habits. That's all available. Only 16% of the people have opted out under the GOBA opt-out thing, so the information is still out there. Okay, let's talk about some free information first. Let's do the waterfall. There's four main link sources. Now, remember when I told you a link just links you to data. We're going to look at these four. Let's go to the first one, which is Sagal. Sagal, U.S. International Intelligence and Military Databases. It's got 80-plus U.S. data sites, all federal courts, the FBI, the U.S. Marshals Service, FinCEN, the Financial Crimes Network, and U.S. Customs. Now, let me give you a cautionary. You can find the CIA on here. You can find all of these. If there is an area that is restricted and requires a password, do not, under any circumstances, attempt to hack that password, because they'll pull up your IPL and they'll track it back to you, and you'll get a visit from someone with a badge knocking on your door. Do not try to hack any of these, but there is good information out there that you can use. They have all branches of the U.S. military services, all U.S. regulatory agencies, the National Archives and Records, which I am told has a listing of all federal employees, and Interpol. Interpol is not a police department. Interpol is an international association of police departments. And oftentimes, if I'm looking for someone I think left the country, I'll go to Interpol. I'll find out who the law enforcement group is in that country and contact them. Just say, hey, I got your number off of Interpol. I need some help. That magic word, help. I was told you could probably help me. I don't tell them who told me that, but in their mind, neurolinguistically, someone told them that. The next one that we use, and I use this one quite a bit, is blackbookonline.info. They have reverse lookups. They have phone directories. They have state records, federal records, mail drops. You can put an address in. If it's a mail drop, it'll tell you. Businesses, news search, death records, skip trace sites, bank records, aviation records, and vessel records. When a boat gets to be so big, it becomes a vessel. Now, some of these sites, most of them are free. Some are pay. The pay sites will be in green and they have little dollar marks. You have to use a credit card. So it's okay to let your tracers and your cyber trackers into this site as long as they don't have your credit card. If they want to get anything that costs money, they have to put their own credit card in. This is a very good site. The next one, and I use this one probably more than any other one, it's pimall.com, and this is exactly what it says it is. It is a private investigator's mall of databases. Unlimited links, more links here to consumer databases than you can imagine. The information is very current. There's a great selection, and it's very easy to manipulate. When you go to pimall.com, if you can't find this, if you will text me or email me, I will send you the exact link to where all this information is stored. But you should be able to find it if you're a good cyber tracker. The last one is the one that we maintain. I maintain it. It's manhuntseminars.com. Be sure and get the dash in there, www.manhunt-seminars.com. If you just do Manhunt Seminars, you come up with an all-male dating site in Florida. So be careful. It's got 500-plus tracing links. Keep in mind that a lot of law enforcement people use this also, so you'll see a lot of stuff in there which are for law enforcement. 48 national, international phone books, 7 school locator databases, 23 federal databases, 3 NetMap generators, 50 state websites with downlinks. That means you can go from the state to the county to the city. 9 search engines work off of this. So there's a lot of good bots there to help you find what you're looking for. Manhunt Seminars. Those are all free. Again, there's no data there. They're just links. The next one is Data Brokers. I say we created this. If you're looking at data, you will know how current the data is. Where did it come from? Was it legally obtained? How often is the data updated? What is the support system? And how easy is it interpreted? One that I would, you know, say, hey, take a hard look at this is the one Mike mentioned before. I use it personally. I use it quite a bit, and it's Microbill. You see on the next slide, it's very current data. It comes from multiple sources, prime, subprime, credit bureaus, proprietary data. The data is current. They have a very effective search engine. They have excellent Social Security data. They have a very good real property database. A cyber tracker will use that if a person lived at a certain address. Maybe they were renting, but you can find out who owns that property, contact them and see what they know about the person. When they moved, how cold is your store? If they know where they moved, did they move owing rent? Whatever. If they moved owing rent, they'll give you all the information they've got. It is a excellent relative database. And once again, that's what we use there. You know, the person may be running, the relatives aren't. The person may be not giving out information, trying to hide. The relatives may be good, honest people, and they'll tell you everything they need. And Microbill also has a very good support system. You have to change your passwords often. If you forget, you've got to call in and talk to them to get the password changed. They have good verification. Like I say, I use this one. I use Microbill probably more than anybody else. There's some additional data sites, and I asked my tracers, my cyber trackers, give me some information on what you're using. The next sites that come up, the next slide shows those. GoogleEarth.com. Look at where the people live. Use Google Earth and look at the addresses you had for them. See if there is a pattern. Do they live in mobile homes? Do they live in apartments? Are they renting houses? What type of neighborhoods do they live in? You know, that is the predictor. Before you can track anybody, you always go backwards to go forward. So use Google Earth to do that. Look for the pattern. PublicRecordFinder.com, that's exactly what it is, public records. Metroline.com, work number, that's a little pricey, but if they, you don't get a hit, you don't get charged anything, you can give them the Social Security number. I work with them in developing that particular program. Originally, that was just an employment verification. I told them, hey, I don't need to verify the employment. I can verify employment myself. I need to be able to give you a Social Security number and you tell me where the people work. They now have that program in there. Free translation. I use that quite a bit if I'm having to talk to somebody or send them communications or I get communications in another language. Skippies, that's a skip tracing site. People always ask me, you know, is there a mobile phone database? Yeah, there is. You know, it's all voluntary. There it is right there. You won't find your people in there. And now with porting, it's really almost worthless, but it's out there if you want to look at it. Info.com, findagrave.com. I was looking for a fellow yesterday, and when I found him, he asked me how I found him. I told him, well, I knew his parents' name. I knew they were deceased. I went to find a grave. I found that the cemetery they were buried in, it gave their date of death. I knew what city they were in. I went to the newspaper in that city. I read the obituaries from the date of death forward 10 days. I found out from that what the obituary gets a lot of information. It gave me relatives' names and the cities they were from. He wasn't listed, but his brother and two sisters were. I called one of the sisters, and she gave me his phone number. That's how I found him. And it all started out with Find a Grave. Payphonedirectory.org. Xero is a really a good site. Take a look at that. It's got a lot of different things there. MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, alumni, classmates. Those are, you know, social things. We'll talk about them more tomorrow. Craigslist, eBay. These people are buying stuff and selling it. We're finding a lot of people by going to Craigslist and eBay looking for names. Abeka, they've got a lot of things to offer. Take a look at that. ReversePhoneDirectory.com, YBLost, and there's that Archives Government again. These were just sites that my employees gave me that they said they used. You know, you're going to be using your mind. You've got to learn to massage and manipulate. So many times I will send somebody to a particular database, and they'll come back and they'll say, well, that just didn't work for me. I couldn't find it. It isn't that the data isn't there. It's that they do not understand how to massage and manipulate the data to get it out. If you're looking for me, Ron L. Brown, that's the name you have. You know, that's really not my name, but you search Ron L. Brown, Ron Brown, comma Brown, Ron R. Brown, comma Brown, in quotes Ron Brown, in quotes Brown Ron, Ron Brown, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma with spaces, Ron Brown, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma with no spaces, Ron Brown with an asterisk. If you know my email addresses, search them. Big Ron 500, Sugar Lips 909. Google, Google, Google. Learn just to go on Google and Google those people. There's millions of websites. There's millions of documents. It's unbelievable what's out there. It's just so much information that the cyber tracker has access to. Build your own list of sites that work for you. Mark them as a favorite spot. Pretty soon you can go to that and just back and forth, and you'll know exactly where you want to go. Mike, that's getting us pretty close to the end here. Do we have any questions?
We do not, but I will remind everybody that if you have a question for Ron, this is your chance on this on the topic of cyber tracking to type it into the Q&A button on your, hit the Q&A button on your Zoom webinar control panel, type the question in, and I will ask it of Ron. To give people a chance, let me ask a question of yours. You know, there's a huge amount of information that you put forth in the last 40 minutes or so. It is overwhelming, and I'm going to start running to all these places and seeing what I can find. Do you have a recommend a process for people, you know, let's say for someone in a working at a collection agency, do you have a recommend a process for how they should sort of attack all of this information or how they should prioritize it when they're looking for somebody?
You know, Mike, I'm a firm believer in using what I call a tracing mat. I want to be sure I want to know who I'm looking for. I start out making sure that I have the person's full and correct name. My name is not Ron Brown. If you look for Ron Brown, you might find me, but you'll get lucky. That's not my name. You need to know the person's full correct name. Also, their last known address or any addresses that you have. And once again, we're creatures of habit. You look for patterns. If I was living in a trailer park, I'll move to a trailer park. If I was buying a home, I'll be buying a home. So that tells me what databases to look at. Spouses, very important. Children, very important. The type of work I do, not just where I work. For some reason, just because I work at a hospital does not mean I'm a doctor or a nurse. I could empty bedpans. So not just what the person, where they work, but what they did where they work. And you get this flow chart going. And again, I've got flow charts that I use. Actually, one that was developed by the U.S. Marshals Service is the one that I like to use. And it starts out with all this information. And each piece of information is a part of a puzzle. And pretty soon, you look at it, and you can start putting the pieces together, and that's what helps you. I believe in the waterfall technique. Before we start spending a lot of money, let's go to our free sites first. Then let's move down to the next level of the pay sites. And then finally, if I cannot find them on a free site or a pay site by cyber tracking, I move into the true skip tracer mode where I am talking to relatives, references. That's the most expensive skip tracing there is when you're actually using your time to do things like that. But that's called the waterfall technique. I teach it. I'm a firm believer in it. Pattern people use the waterfall technique and use a flow chart.
Good advice. We have a reminder question for members of the Eagle Group who need their code for continuing education credit. Do you want to share that now?
Yes, I will give them their code. It is C as in Charlie, 2, numeral 2, T as in Tango, 19, R as in Romeo, 20. That's Charlie, 2, T Tango, 19, R Romeo, 20. That's the code for getting credit for the class. Will you go to the next slide? And just briefly, let's just look at it for a moment. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about social media. Social media investigation looked into the social media posts, status updates, photos, conversations. You might use it for different things, for court case, custody battle, part of a background investigation. It can be used as evidence in court cases to support alibis, provide supplementary evidence for risk assessment, active monitoring. You know, almost everyone has a Facebook. Facebook has a data set of 10 trillion numbers. That's URLs. URLs on billions of users totaling 10 trillion. 38 million people a day share information on just Facebook. 38 million per 24 hours. And, you know, a lot of privacy is involved there. Some of you may know, last year, the FTC fined Facebook $5 billion. Billion. So tomorrow we're going to be talking about Facebook and this social media investigation, which has become one of the prime sources of information for the cyber trackers. We'll talk about the strict rules, the rules of it, where the basic sites are, and we'll talk about each one of those sites and how they work and what information is there. Until then, Mike, hey, good luck, good hunting.
Awesome. Well, if you can stick around for a minute, Ron, there are a couple of questions. Do you have a quick second, or do we have to go and we can tackle these tomorrow?
No. I'm good to go.
All right, here. We got a question. Someone was asking for more information about the windows that you referred to earlier and how people might be able to locate them.
The only way you're going to locate windows is to be part of a cyber tracking network like the Eagle Group 20. A group that when one person finds something, they will share that information. We have a website. It is Eagle Group USA. It's a Facebook. If you will ask to join that, I will be happy to approve you and make you a member. And usually if something like that comes up, it's posted on there so the other members can see it. But if you want to follow us on Eagle Group USA on Facebook, like I said, you'll have to ask to be a member, and be sure and put on there that you attended this seminar, that you attended the accountsrecovery.net. That's going to be your keyword for me letting you be a member of it.
Awesome. Excellent. We did have a couple of questions that came in about finding places of employment, and if there was any extra advice that you had to share beyond what you talked about during your presentation.
Obviously, the employment there is, if you want to pay for it, I gave you that site. But we'll talk tomorrow about how to find employment through social media. And that has become one of the main sources that we use to find employment anymore.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, Ron, great presentation again. I can't tell you how much I learned personally. So on behalf of everybody who participated, thank you again for sharing such a huge amount of information with us today. Look forward to you coming back tomorrow to finish this presentation and talk about skip tracing and social media. Thanks, Ron. Awesome job. Really appreciate it.
See you guys tomorrow.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks again to Microbuilt for sponsoring today's webinar. Hope everybody comes back tomorrow for the final in our series. Take care.